Okay, Nita, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you, Daryl. You did great. One of these nights, I'm going to ask everyone to turn their mute off and give Daryl a big applause for all that he does to put these nights together. We just so appreciate. I don't know what we would do if he decided one night, I don't want to do this anymore. We would be absolutely lost. Yeah, but Elizabeth wants to let Daryl know there's no pressure. Anyway, we thank him. We thank God because the privilege of doing this is anything beyond what we as human beings on this earth could possibly ever understand. You can imagine if the Lord would say to you, I want to give you a plan that will protect America for many years to come. Will you do it? I said no for 2 years. Not because I didn't want him to save America. I was just so afraid. We as a ministry could never take on such a huge operation. You can imagine what I felt the day he said, great, we're doing great. And soon it will be the world. And I said, what? And he said, what you're doing right now is going to allow me to save the world. I almost passed out. I am telling you the truth. I couldn't perceive it, couldn't conceive it if I had to. But he's brought us wonderful intercessors that have great faith and are willing to pray and pay the price. And that really is the huge difference. So we appreciate you, but pretty soon the whole world's going to be appreciating you. And when you get to heaven, you'll get to meet all those people that are in heaven because you prayed. It'll be amazing for all of us. He's a good God. And I decided when, when he's dealing with me, I guess if he can talk through a mule, he can talk through me. And then I went to a church just soon after that. And the pastor introduced me by saying, now, I want you to know that our guest speaker is just a little tyke. She's just barely over 100 pounds. But I don't want you to be intimidated by her size. And he said, after all, if God can talk through a mule, he can talk through her. And his wife went, whop. Oh boy. So that was my confirmation. Me and mules get along well. Okay, so tonight I'm going to share something with you. And at first, you might say, what does that have to do with what we're doing? But keep listening. Keep listening because you'll know by the time I'm done. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture so we don't have to read through it all tonight or we'll be here for 2 hours teaching. So have your paper and pen ready or your iPhone or whatever goes the fastest for you. So you can write down the scriptures. It will be well worth your time. And then when this is up on the website, you can download it with the scriptures that you write down tonight. And it will enhance your understanding. You will find such great pleasure in the things I'm going to share, because it's about our God. People, when they teach, you know, they like to teach about people, because the church is full of us, right? And they like to teach about events, past events, present events, coming events. But my favorite thing to teach about is God. I love Him so much. And I want you to know Him the way He's allowed me to know Him. And my prayer is that as you come to know the things that He is willing to let us know, that it will increase your love for Him more and more and more. But whatever the case is, this is what He put on my heart for tonight. So please stay with me. As I said, I'm going to give Bible verses, but I'm not going to quote them, and I'm not going to have you turn to them. So I'll give you the subject, and then I'll give you the verses, and then I'll give you the essence of the subject. Are you ready?
Ready.
Father, You're so majestic. You're so powerful. You're so wonderful. I love to talk about You. I love to talk about Yeshua, and I love to talk about the Spirit. But at the same time, You know what I go through internally, because it's also sacred. So please help me communicate, and please help the people that are with us to understand. In Your precious name, my Father. We're going to start by talking about the omnis of God. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. And He's omnipresent. We're going to talk about those three things first, and that will lead into the core of the message. So starting with His omnipotence, we understand that He is all-powerful. Now, we understand it with our mind, right? But the truth is, the reality is, that anyone that can create and hold together all of creation with not so much as a beep or a bump or a lump showing up that he wasn't anticipating has got to be powerful. And he has to be more powerful than any other living thing. If Satan was even as powerful as he is, we'd be in warfare over this earth, over between light and dark, every minute. And while it's true, the earth would be shaking, quaking, turning to the right, turning to the left, not knowing what in the world it was supposed to do, because it doesn't know which message to follow. But God is all powerful. He's all powerful, and He is limitless. in all that he is and does. And he's infinite. So, beginning with before time began, to the time beyond when time ends, and we're back to limitless eternity. He is greater than all of that. Isn't that amazing? And aren't we thankful that he's a God of love? You can imagine what a being with that kind of power and authority would be like if he weren't love. These are the scriptures. Revelation 19:6, Ephesians 1:19, Daniel 4:35, Isaiah 43:13, Isaiah 14:27, Matthew 19:26. I hope I'm not going too fast. Am I? Okay, I'll try to slow it down just a little bit. Job 42, 1 and 2. Luke 1:37. Acts 26:8. Jeremiah 32:27. And Deuteronomy 33:27. Next, not only is he omnipotent, but he's omniscient. What does that mean? God is all-knowing. He knows. Now, this is so hard to comprehend. This is even more incomprehensible than what I just gave. God is all-knowing. He knows all the past, present, and future. He has always known all there is to know and that can be known. He knows nothing new because he is the new. There's nothing he's forgotten about the past because he is the past. He doesn't skip over things of the present, thinking, my mind's too busy, I can't handle all this, because he is the present. You take our Lord out of the equation, we have nothing left. And everything that is would be no more. Isn't that an amazing reality? There is not a thing of the past that he doesn't know or that he can forget because he's God. There isn't anything in the present or in the future that he does not know everything. Every I to be dotted, every T to be crossed. Whatever it is, a smell, a fragrance, anything, a little ant walking across the floor. He knows it all, and he knows it all every minute. You might think, that can't be, that's impossible. And you are absolutely right for a human being. But if you're God, it's not only possible, it is the way it is every moment. That's why we can't play games with God. He knows where we are. He knows where we're going. He knows his plan, and he knows whether or not you will fulfill his plan for you. There's just no mistakes. When Trump gained the presidency, that wasn't a mistake. No mistakes. When Biden gained the presidency and he stole it from Trump, God knew that was going to happen. He knew it before he created the earth. How about that? And he already had the problem solved before they could ever come to be. That's why nothing unnerves him. That's why nothing tears at his emotions. He is all faith every minute, from before time to after time. Isn't he a wonderful, wonderful, awesome God? Okay, these are the scriptures. Psalm 139:4. Psalm 147. Four and five. John 3:20. Hebrews 4:13. Chronicles 28:9. Isaiah 40:28, 46:9-10, and 1 Kings 8:39. Do you love God more yet? Okay, let's go to the next one. He is omnipresent. In other words, there is no place that he is not. He is omnipresent. Now, listen to this one, because this can be tricky. Not only is he in us, but we are in him. We are in him. Our planet Earth is in him. Every planet he ever made is in him. Every star that he ever made is in him. Every creature in the sea is in him. Every fowl of the air is in him. All of humanity, starting with Adam and Eve and to the very last being, is in him. Now, some of us are also carrying him. So there's a difference between being in him and him being in us. If we know him as our Savior and Lord, then he is in us. Isn't that exciting? He's in us. Now, think about this. He is in us from the very beginning of his thought concerning us. Does that mean at the very beginning of time? No, my dear friend. Before the beginning of time. God created every soul that will ever walk upon this earth before he created earth, before he created time. It was all already taken care of. He knew the beginning from the end because he is the beginning and the end. Now, if all of this is true, how do we deal with a God like this? If he knew that I was going to wake up this morning and break my ankle, why didn't he just say, stay in bed? Don't get up today and you can spare your ankle. Well, because he doesn't fear things like that. If he has something he wants us to do or to learn through our own mistakes, he'll let us make mistakes and not reject us. Isn't that exciting? He'll let us just flat do it wrong, even if it's not a mistake, and not reject us. He knows the beginning from the end, and he knows whether you're going to straighten out your path or you're not before it's over. But my dear friends, he still created you. And he created that erring one that will never make heaven. But because of his great goodness and his great love for that soul that had to be created, he will do everything he can to change their heart. He's given us a beautiful world to live in. We have seasons, we have people, we have experiences, good and bad. We have everything a person could want and not want in our lives. And we have the possibility of being visited by our God. Not only visited, what is even more wonderful, to be wholly owned by our God, where we are wholly free in him, and he totally, wholly owns every part of us. Every human being that is born has that potential. How did he make the way? Jesus Christ upon the cross. And nowhere can you find in the Bible or in personal visitation Jesus saying, well, the Lord told me if I'd go to the cross, you know, the Lord, my Father God, told me if I would go to the cross, he would save 2 billion people through my suffering. Oh, Jesus, that's not very many. What happens to the rest of them? Oh, they don't count because he told me 2 billion. Aren't we glad he's not that way? Aren't we glad? He's not that way. The Bible clearly says what? He wished that none should perish. And that the work on the cross was for A, L, you got it, L, all. So those who don't make heaven because they really didn't like Jesus on this earth. And they would prefer to go there than to be in heaven. Do you know, and this is fact, this is absolute fact, I'm not telling you anything that is conjecture. People that end up in hell could never tolerate being in heaven. Did you know that? He took me to hell once, and I'm standing before the visit was over, 5 or 6 different people. 3 were in one cage and one. 5 or 6, maybe 6 different people. 5, I'm sure of. And in front of every one of them, he said to them, now, are you sure you would rather be here than in my heaven with me? You know what they would say to him? We don't want to go to your stinking heaven. We hate it. It's too pure. It's too clean. that God, Father of yours, makes us sick to our stomachs. So if we have to go through a little suffering down here, it's better than going to heaven where everything is so holy. That would be worse. Every one of them gave him answers of that nature in front of me. The Lord Jesus stood in front of them with tears flowing down his cheeks. And he said to every one of them, I love you. I love you. And I would have saved you if you would have let me. And they just started cussing at him. But you never saw anger in his face. Only mercy, only compassion. God is everywhere. All that is, he is in. All at all times. Meaning his divine presence fills everywhere at all times. I can remember the first time he ever said to me, I was living in Fresno at the time. I'd gone out for a walk in Fresno's beautiful, beautiful park. And on this walk, I had been going through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and I didn't understand it. But he spoke to me audibly, not the wee small voice inside of me, but audibly. And he said to me, Nita, remember this and remember it all the days of your life. I am in all things. You are not alone. He didn't say it gingerly. He didn't say it with no emotions. He was trying to comfort someone who really needed it. And knowing that I was suffering and he was beside me, that he would not let suffering overtake me and win, meant everything to me. And it is what has kept me through much suffering all of my life. He is in all things. Does he rejoice over our suffering? No. But he does rejoice as we see that we allow suffering to lead us into deeper places in him, that he allows, that he enjoys, that he desires. He wants us to know that the world is evil, it is wicked, there is nothing good in it. It wants your soul in hell. He wants you to know these things. So when you're walking through the rose garden and the whatever those things are on the side of the rose, I can't remember what they're called, but when they're pricking you, when you're walking through the rose garden, he wants you to remember that though the roses be beautiful, they're part of a world that will hurt you as much as it can until you leave it. And the more you become aware of that, the harder you're going to press in to going all the way in Jesus. I don't know what time it is.
5:12.
How long have I been?
5:12.
How long have I?
Just under 30 minutes.
Okay. Maybe I'll just quit here. And I'll share the next part next week. It's very powerful, just as these are very powerful. If you learn these things about God, it's going to help you through life like very little can. The more you know about him, the more you understand him, I promise you, if your heart is true, you will love him more and more and more. And you'll feel safe in him and with him. So we'll talk more next week on the transcendence of God. And I'll turn this back over to Daryl. Thank you. We love you.
Would you like to pray as well right now, Nita?
I'm sorry, what?
You were scheduled to pray as well. Would you like to pray?
Oh, sure.
Or did you want to do that later?
No, I'll pray. Yes. Father, knowing you is the most cherished, the most valuable thing we will ever know. When my daughter was suffering so much, I was crying myself to sleep every night. The thing that helped me was knowing how you really are, and that you are not trying to destroy my daughter. It was the devil. So I could keep praying, knowing and trusting you were going to bring her through her terrible, terrible fire. And now look at her, how beautiful she is, how much she loves you. You're so faithful, faithful beyond what we can comprehend, more than enough. So when we get through our life and we look in our little bag of goodies from God, we're going to see we have lots of faithfulness left that we didn't need, because you were more than enough. You were love, and your love is more than enough. Everything about you is more than we need. And you're always there to carry us when that's necessary, to walk beside us and give us counsel when that is necessary, to run with us, you'll run with us, to walk with us, you'll walk with us, to hop and skip down the path, you'll do it right beside of us. If it's dark at night, you come to us, and the light shines from your feet to know where we must take our next step. You're just so faithful, so capable. And you don't withdraw. You don't think any of the things. You don't do the kinds of things that we think you're doing. You love us tenderly, like a brother or a father loves his little girl or his little boy. Like a brother feels toward his little sister or his little brother. You're marvelous in your workings. Your workings are so awesome. They're worth boasting over. Because who else can do what you do? We love you dearly, Father. And even that, you have to give us. You have to pour it in for us to give it back to you. We came into this place, this season, having nothing to give to you but our will. And you spend the rest of, oh my gosh, the love I'm feeling right now. If only they could feel it, Lord. It would heal their tears and fears. He gives us more than we know that we need. He calls it grace. When we're not what we think we should be, He loves us face to face. He calls it grace. When we think we can't add up, He pulls us close to Himself, wraps His arms around us, and tells us, we're doing this together. Don't be afraid. Just receive of my grace. And I ask you to do that for everyone online tonight. There just isn't anything, anyone, any doing that can make you fall short. Oh God, if only we could know that. Because it's true. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your spirit upon each and every one. May they embrace your love, your grace, your kindness, your mercy. That they may know the strength of it all. Your precious apostle Paul said it so beautifully, Lord. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is for us here in this night, not just heaven. Help us to gain it, to access it, to live in it. And life will be so beautiful, no matter what the enemy tries to do. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your strength, your love, your joy, your peace, your righteousness, Father. Thank you. In your precious name, Amen.